Hello, everyone, and welcome to our post-conference gathering. We have a lot to discuss today. There was so much that happened during those 3 days that we thought it would be very appropriate for us to briefly go over the several points and briefly discuss them. And then after each segment, we'll open it up for discussion and question and answer because we never got a chance. There was so much going on in the conference, we never got a chance to have any question and answer or discussion time. So, Milena?
So welcome, everybody. We're delighted to be here. And yeah, we're interested later on in the conversation to hear from you guys and see how you're doing and how you experienced the conference and how are you doing with all the energetics now. And there were a lot of energetics. And one of the purposes for today is because we gave everything to you in this 3 day segment, you know, it was just one thing after another. So you're going from one dimensional field to another frequency to another time sequence, just one right after the other. And there were so many, and some of the shifts in those frequencies were subtle and some were not. Anyway, but that we thought maybe by encapsulating a little bit from our perspective too, some of the things that occurred that then you could kind of have a little bit fuller picture of some of the things that did occur. Okay, are we ready?
Yeah, we're ready. I'm ready.
Okay. All right, so I think we'll start with the centering meditation. And if you'll all join me in welcoming Archangel Gabriel.
Greetings. It is I, Gabriel. I am delighted to be with you today. So much has changed in your energetic field. Have you noticed? We certainly have. It is brilliant and vibrating. So if you all will take a deep breath now and let us get centered together in our crucible. All have gathered with us at this very moment. Be with you, to support you, but to also participate. You know, as much as we are here for service to you, to help you in this ascension process, we benefit also from these activations. It uplifts us greatly and allows us to transmit at certain levels of energetics and certain levels of form, whether it be the human form relating to Earth or some other galaxy that has form. We have reference points that you have given us as you have moved through these activations and these initiations. So we are delighted to be participating with you at this time. So take a deep breath and be the light that you are. Be all that you are. Beautiful, emanating light. Streaming from your sacred heart center as you are that magnificent, holy, divine light. As an individual creator, ever able to transmit the light that you are, to uplift and show the way to other humans who are struggling in these times of change. So as you breathe in the love of the all that is, and you exhale the light that you are, you are constantly giving service with every in-breath and out-breath. I don't need to tell you to feel how tangible that is in your body, because you have begun to experience it since our light conference began. You are learning to be all that you are. This is an important awareness that you have recently known about yourself. So take another deep breath and let us begin this session in our crucible, crucible of light, with every member of the crucible functioning in their full capacity. We are the light of the all that is, united in one crucible. So let us begin.
Thank you, Gabriel. That was beautiful as always. So we'll begin at the beginning. So the very first thing that did occur for us was that the archangels expanded our crucible to connect all of your personal spaces, you know, together too. So we had one expanded crucible throughout the entire conference. And I didn't ask the question of anybody, but I believe as we go forth and we gather together as one, our expanded crucible remains in place. So of course the conference came from you, from the crystalline light portal, which, you know, is emanating at that eighth dimensional frequency. And of course the etheric crystal came into play, as it has for all of our conferences. And due to those activations and the initiations that we received in the conference, we are now able to draw from that etheric crystal. However, we cannot put anything into it. We can't adjust its frequency anyway. We are the receivers of what it's emitting. But that is another component that we now have to use for our own personal space and creations as we move forward. So the next thing we did in that opening segment was to return to our personal cosmic light temple. And those have been moved into a specific dimension or frequency that all of our teachers alike decide would best support each of us. And they have been just telling me for the last 3 days to be sure I remind each of you to use this space, because it was created for you. And it can be a place of creation, rejuvenation, rest, whatever you need it to be. And just as before, for me, I love going there for the absolute silence that I find there. And that soothes my soul. It kind of turns off all the noise of the world. So the next thing we did in that first segment, your flower of life received another upgrade and activation. We received the next iteration of the magenta color coding, which we learned comes in a circular motion and is now coiled within your sacred heart. We also received the next iteration of the magenta crystalline lotus, which has become more multifaceted and more multidimensional. And this this lotus is a very important component and will come into play more and more as we go into next year, I believe. And because of all of just those things we did in that opening segment, we can now receive more of the light codes that are coming in from the central sun. We then raise our Merkaba to 130%. So everything done in this segment was done to assist us to raise our vibrational frequency individually, but to also build it as a collective. And we were also building our coherence so we would be able to move more smoothly into that quantum field for all the activations and initiations to come. So, and then with that, we got in our Merkabas, and then we journeyed to Sirius B.
Well, at that time, we were met by Anrata and Umlata, and we were taken to the Temple of Transparency, which was vibrating at a different vibration, and they asked us to feel the difference, because that Temple of Transparency is now operating for us at that eighth and ninth dimensional level. And this is important for you to recognize that you are now capable of not operating in those eighth and ninth dimensions, but you are capable of gathering reference points when you are able to go to the Temple of Transparency. So that's a very important recognition that we received as we entered that temple this time. And so according to Anrata, he assisted us in retrieving the last portion of that sixth dimensional light template, which was equilibrium and the importance of that piece of equilibrium and how it balanced the electromagnetic field. And it changed the way in which we operate in that field. Also, it changed significantly the rift within our mental emotional body. So this was a huge activation that took place in that beautiful temple of transparency. From there, Anrata led us down a light path to meet with Metatron. And we went with Metatron for the first time into the quantum field. And this was quite an experience for many of us because we had not really actually traveled there. It wasn't that we weren't capable, but our teachers of light did not mention that to us because we were still in the throes of reverting back to fourth dimension and that very stable paradigm. So now we are more capable of holding the stability of fifth dimension. And so it was time to introduce us to that beautiful quantum field of creation. So this was a quite exciting morning, very filled with so many activations that were so important that built the basis for what we would do in the afternoon. Each day was just packed with certain activations that were dependent on the activations that took place previously. So with that, we would like to open this up for a discussion. And anybody that would like to talk about this first portion of our conference or who have questions or comments that they would wish to make at this time. So to do that, all you have to do is unmute yourself. And then, of course, please mute yourself back.
All right. Somebody speak.
You're speaking.
Hi, this is Susie.
Hi, Susie.
Is this quantum field a place where we can just tap into then in our walking around space?
No. You have to do that with intention. You have to be holding a certain vibration. You can't do it just in the middle of your day when there's a lot of chaos going on. You have to be in the silence, in the center of your being, in your heart center. And with your intention, then you go there. So it's a very creative field. So it's kind of like the process when you wanted to manifest something in your life. Well, you have so much there in that field to create with and manifest, or to alter certain things that are bothering you or inhibit you in being all that you are. Because moving forward, this is so important, as Gabriel said, the fact of being the light that you are. So any distortion that comes up, it's very important for you to eliminate it instantly, because it does then affect the way that you use that quantum field. If you use it from a fourth dimensional perspective where you've been triggered, that's what you're going to, result is you're going to draw from that. So you really want to be in that fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional field of energy that you are, that you have been initiated into.
Okay, great. That makes sense.
Does anybody else have a comment to make about that, Milena or anybody?
I have a question. This is Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay for us to talk to people not in our group about the quantum field, just calling it the quantum field of unlimited possibility?
Well, here again, you have no way of knowing if they get triggered and move back into that lower dimension, just like any of us can get triggered. It's very unlikely that we would at this stage of the game, but you don't know that about other people in their private life. So I would say there is a field of unlimited possibilities of the all that is, and leave it at that.
Okay, thank you.
I have a little question.
Mm-hmm.
Is the quantum field similar to the fourth, fifth, and sixth ray?
It's much more than that. It goes into the eighth ray that we really haven't explored. And I'm sure in this next segment of teaching that will be, because there is a library of frequencies and it's a massive library of creation. It's not just a magic wand where you clear your stuff. It's so much more. And that is within the quantum field. Yes. It's so much more than that. When you operate with that fourth, fifth, and sixth ray, you're operating at more of a fourth dimensional level to help yourself move into that fifth dimension stably.
Okay. I haven't yet figured out how to completely turn on my third eye, so I still don't really see images. And it kind of makes me wonder how I work with the quantum field if I can't really, in my third eye, see what it is. So I'm still just working on a sense of knowing, and I'm assuming at some point my third eye will turn on.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel anything in this area of your forehead physically?
Not usually. All my stuff is up here
in your crown, which is great, because it's drawing into you. So just keep working with it. And some people are just more visual than others. It's a knowing that I have personally. And I think everybody is different in how they, your mind's eye knows that for some reason, but I don't actually see a visual like I see with my physical eye.
Yes, that's exactly how I experience it sometimes. I just sort of know it. I sense it, and then I know it, but I I sometimes wish I could see all those beautiful colors and hear those sounds I hear other people talk about, because I know it would activate my emotional body in a way that might not be getting activated right now.
Well, you just be patient and, you know, in that knowing that you will access that, those emotions.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
You kind of have the same experience. I mean, sometimes I do get visuals, but a lot of times I don't and just let it be. But, you know, for me, it's a lot of this is just a real subtle change of a subtle feeling, you know, a subtle, slight different feeling that's hard to describe. But you can, even if you can't describe it, you can sort of access it again through that subtle energetic feeling, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you, Randy. I think that you can't discount these gifts of spirit, which are clairsentient, clairaudient, clairvisual, those types of things, because there's not one better than another. Clairsentient is a very important gift of the spirit. And that clairsentience, Kelly, enables you to feel at an emotional level those more refined emotions, not just happiness, but joy, ecstasy, that kind of thing. It's that clairsentience that keys in to the emotion.
I have to admit, I have been feeling more connected to a deeper sense of joy that isn't just connected to, oh, I liked that piece of chocolate I just ate.
Yeah.
It's just bigger, and it also feels easier to access.
Right.
I just have to sort of put my intention there and I can feel it now. And that really didn't happen as easily before.
So don't ever discount your gifts, whatever they are. Because they're all important, and you're individuals. And so some of your gifts get activated before others and are stronger than others.
Yeah, I get that totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're perfect just the way you are.
You know, and to that end also, Kelly, and on everybody, I think as we move forward and we play more and more in this quantum field, that how we receive is changing. Because I think I speak for John and I, just in this year even, and the year before, the way we receive the information for the conferences has changed a lot over this period of time. But as we become more familiar with and ease more into that quantum field, then all of those perceptions will change in a totally different way than we can even imagine at this point. But just however you receive it. And there is no right or wrong way. I used to, when early on, I used to beat myself up because I couldn't see like everybody else was. Well, I see today, I see some things, I hear some things, and some things I just know. And I've just learned to flow with it. And if you try to get into trying to make it be something or feel like it, you're missing something, then that gets in your way. So just let it flow to you, and it will.
Absolutely.
I'd like to add something here. This is Beth.
Hi, Beth.
My feeling is really that since we're part of the crucible and we're now, I think, always in the crucible, whether we're aware of it or not, each one of us has some kind of valuable input. And we do impact on each other, whether we're quite aware of it or not. And we're spread out all over the place. So we're tapping into, you know, grids and energy lines and all the rest of it, but at the same time with each other. And so I think this is what is so rich about the whole concept of the crucible, is that everyone's bringing something important to the table, even if we're not aware of exactly what that might be. Or we might think, we might not give value to it, but the fact is, without each individual that's part of this crucible, we wouldn't be who we are today. So I just like to, you know, put that out, because I don't think any of us see the clearly our own particular value in what we are giving because we're so used to who we are. But all together, we make a big, big difference.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, this is Rosemary.
Hey, Rosemary.
Hi. I would like to comment on the changes in the mental, emotional body. It seems to be what I notice the most. And I was just reminded of it when you talked about the healing of the rift. Because if, from my perspective, it seems like they've merged. And I do get my information visually a lot. And not that that's better or worse. That's just how I've always been. So I sometimes don't know if I'm making things up. Can I trust what I'm seeing? But what I've been seeing is that they are Taurus fields. I didn't have that impression before. The mental body and the emotional body seem to merge in counter-rotational Taurus fields. So like they're all inside. It's like a big donut now with some going up and the mental goes down and the emotional goes up. And then when I realized also that I don't think I was ever in the center of my mental emotional body. I think I kept it off to a side. And all of a sudden I feel like I'm in the center of it. And so like things happen quickly, like the magnetics bringing things in. And I'm curious about the relationship with that and the quantum field, the interface when you're in your light body and in the center of your mental emotional body and in the quantum field, like what's the interface between all of these? How does it work?
Melina, do you want to answer that or you want me to? My two cents.
You start, you put your two cents in because I could say about 14 things, but you go right ahead.
Well, from my perspective, the quantum field, when you are able to access it, you are able to be in more than one realm simultaneously. So you can be in the physical body, you can be in your physical, which is you're in your mental emotional body or wherever your light body, but you can also be in the quantum field creating.
Well, exactly that. And also in that Taurus field, when you're talking about that, what I see, Rosemary, is that's actually our unified field. And that's how it operates as a Taurus. And I think that's all the energetics we receive are run through that this huge, we're sitting in the center of this huge toroidal field. And so this is our unified field and all these activations and everything we bring in gets drawn into that field and then dispersed throughout the whole unified body. So yeah, I think that's a beautiful realization. And, you know, and they're finding that Taurus field, you know, energetically, you know, is part of that foundational makeup of everything that exists in the universe. So you're sitting right in the center where you should be. So that's a beautiful realization. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, yes. Hey, thank you. And does, just for curiosity's sake, does the mental emotional body have like a geometry or a position in within our energetic, you know, our complete field and our energetic body?
They've never discussed that, actually. I've never been asked.
Yeah, I don't know if I would describe it as a position because, again, it's part of the makeup of who you are. So It's hard to say your emotional body sits over here on your right shoulder and your mental body sits on your left, you know, but because it's all blended. It's all part of who you are. It's just, but I think when we get into the quantum field, there's less, not even the quantum field, just because of you being able to hold more light now, you know, that merging is actually taking place, which is what we want to happen. You becoming a unified body, you know, without those hard lines of, you know, delineation between those two aspects of yourself.
Yes, yes. I think that makes a lot of sense. Okay, thank you so much.
And that mental emotional body is a very important part of you as a creator being, because it is your thoughts and your emotions that create your reality.
Right.
So, you know, there's that aspect too.
Right. And then it's back to Kelly's point, and those feelings are a part of how many of us perceive and receive is through our feelings. So, you know, it's so, yeah, we just have to learn to embrace it all as being part of us and learn how to navigate it and use it in this whole unified creation that we are, this unified matrix that we've now become. And then as we move more into that quantum field, again, there's just a whole other level that we're just now beginning to brush the surface of. So, you know, a lot of these questions we'll know, have better answers for down the road.
I'd like to comment on the discussion, and it's just my perception and it could be wrong, but the quantum field, it feels like it's the zero point. It's in some way, I think it's deeply connected with the void and maybe even the first creation of the void. But I think my impression is it underpins all things. It certainly underpins all things material and energetic in these physical realms. It may also underpin the higher realms of non-form, I would think. But so I'm thinking that it, you know, everything manifests from that quantum field, all energy and matter thought. Interesting to see. Interesting question for Metatron for me is that connection between the quantum field and the creator or the void. But that's kind of what I get when we're talking about this.
Hello, this is Charlotte.
Hello.
I was going to comment on the mental emotional body. That feels like a layer within that tube torus. If you've ever linked up two slinkies, you can see how you can have multiple things rolling in multiple layers. So to me, my mental emotional body is looping through that tube torus of my unified field in its own layer or connection. And you can, by focusing on it, you can pick data up out of that or whatever you're choosing. So that helps me to bring my pictures up into my visual by using the being clairsentient and take those feelings and turn them into pictures, kind of like the television does.
And don't you also perceive it as colors?
Oh, colors, geometries, yeah. Sound vibrations, all of it. And just like I say, how we are able to see each other through the picture we're looking at right now. It all comes through on a vibration and then you get the picture. So sometimes you got to turn your screen on.
I really hate to interrupt this discussion, but we have a lot more to cover. And we can talk further about these things on a community call, perhaps. So I would like to, I don't want to rush anything, but I want to get through as much of this as we can, because, you know, there may be other questions or comments that need to be made going forward.
So the next segment was when we went, maybe sure, to retrieve the seventh dimensional template, I believe that's where we were.
Yes. And then you took us back to the convergence point. I made some comments on the precision of the order of things in this conference, which is true. Everything, each step we took was predicated on the step before, and we couldn't take the next step or the next activation until we fully received the previous ones. And that is why the crucible was such an invaluable part of this process, because we were fully supported. And there was still some concern that we wouldn't be able to activate everything that they had intended to give us in this conference, but we sure stepped up, and they were delighted to see how we moved through each step. So that was an important realization, that it was such a precision that was orchestrated before and during this conference. Okay, Milena.
Right, and so to retrieve the seventh dimensional template, you know, we went back to the convergence point in Hawaii, and then Yeshua and Miriam stepped forth from the center of the diamond and presented us with that final iteration of the seventh dimensional light template. Miriam spoke to us about the unity consciousness and the seeds that she and Yeshua had planted 2,000 years ago. Yeah, so did you want to talk more about that, Joan? And then,
The sixth and seventh dimensional light template, as you're well aware of, they work together. We have to have that equilibrium, and we have to have those electrical charges so that our mind functions, the brain begins to change. And this is how changing that electromagnetic field was huge as we are moving forward. And without the equilibrium, you continually have those charges from your mental body. And then it activates an emotion that you maybe, that isn't a very coherent emotion. So this was a really important activation, sixth and seventh, and the harmony of how that works together. It changes our relationships within ourselves and with others, whether they be family or friends or casual. It changes everything. That unity then is established even more so. So does anybody have any comments or questions now about that portion? That was the Friday PM session.
Joan, I just want to throw something out really quickly. Can you hear me?
Sure, I can hear you.
Well, I'm just thinking of it because he was so focused on the fact that it was about relationships. When you think about the way I see this, and I'd love to hear your response, is that so often when we do relationships, especially, you know, intimate relationships, we get caught up in romance,
right?
And we're fed that through the media and everything. And it really isn't about the equilibrium. It's very destabilizing. And I've been having these dialogues with people lately about, you know, if you're swept away in that energy, it's really not love, you know. And now I think this is kind of the proof in the pudding, in a way, is without the sixth dimensional light template, the seventh doesn't, the unity and the love doesn't seed.
Right.
And it just gives me another way of kind of framing it. Because I think we're told that when you get swept off your feet and there's roses and chocolates and all that stuff, that that's love. And it really is destable. It's unstable. There's no love to be anchored in that kind of.
Well, and it's a physical. So it's a passing thing. It's a form of Maya.
Yeah.
As we get swept in that romantic feeling of love. And that is not it at all. And of course, people, relationships were the most difficult thing in the biggest learning curve as humans that we have had to experience. And through the years and through the teachings that we've received, we have been able to change that. But until these time locks were fully unlocked and made usable, we were still having difficulties with relationships. Well, that will change because you can allow people to have their opinion and you can have yours, but that doesn't change the fact that you respect them or that you will never talk to them again or any of those other things that happen in relationships. So you're absolutely right. We're going to see big changes, not only in this group, but humans that in their relationships, things will change.
I keep going back to what the Divine Feminine told us. I think it was way back at the end of 2012 about how you have to be whole and complete in yourself in order to be in the higher level of love and relationship.
Yes. Because when you're in that Maya, there's no adequate communication. You know, you're just swept away by that feeling. And so you don't have any really in-depth communication between the two of you that grows over time rather than diminishes. That was a very good point, Katie. Thank you. Anyone else?
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
So I heard you say about the sixth and seventh dimension, I believe. I just heard this, and I'm assuming it's been said multiple times, but I just really heard it, is that it changes the brain.
It does.
And I have been experiencing lately more and more not being able to retrieve data about little day-to-day activities. And I've been sort of getting more conscious of the fact that I think my brain is changing. And there's other things I can access more easily. But trying to remember which vitamin I took 5 minutes ago and which one I got to take next is becoming a bit of a chore. And I wondered if that just plays into what you're all saying.
Yeah, it's short-term memory.
Yeah, it's not very, so I'm trying to make sure, discern between, okay, do I need to go see the doctor about this? Or is this just, okay, my brain is changing. It's not a big deal.
Right. That would be my comment on it.
Yeah.
Kathleen, do you have anything to say about that? No?
I'd like to say something about that if I could. Part of what I've been noticing too, when it's the sixth and seventh light packets, the activations, the quantum field, all of it seems to be changing the connection between the mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. They're blending, and no, I can't remember what I did this morning, or do I get excited about things as much? At the same time, my relationship and the amount that I'm allowing others to have, you know, the compassion aspect of the relationship is really amplifying, especially with this politics garbage going on, you know. So you've got how do I stay in these new energies? And I look at the quantum field. It feels to me so far like the sixth ray, when I would go up there and I'd see the field and I'd choose what I want. And I just, you know, now it just looks like that was the doorway. And now it's like, boom, you know, now we can enter into the whole room. There's a lot going on. A major amount going. I can't put my logical part of me into it, nor do I want to, which is the big difference.
Right.
Is I don't want to analyze it, and I am just being in it, and my brain doesn't seem to be there. My centering, I karate chopped myself in the neck by my end table, and I threw my whole physical body out. I've been like really in doctor's offices, I mean chiropractors, back and forth, really badly got hurt, and I keep not being able to center and bouncing into things, bumping into things, knocking into doorways. That inability to center, I've become very much aware of the changes. And just, you know, there's a lot of confusion in my space, but yet throwing that confusion to the side and just knowing that when it centers, it will all be right where it needed to be. And so even my neck alignment being out, it had to get thrown way out so that they can get brought back to center. I mean, it's so...
Well, it's such a power everything. You have to bring yourself when you are out of alignment, you have to come back to center, always coming back to that center. And now you are asked to pay attention when that centering is wavering, because this is really, really important now for you to stay in that fifth, sixth, seventh dimension frequency range. You have to be aware. So the grounding technique is really important, putting that grounding cord in every day. You have to stay conscious while all this is going on and yet allow the integration to take place, because the neurology, the body is changing. Now that we've had this light body activation, that was huge. The body itself is changing. The etheric body is becoming the light body. The light body is becoming the etheric body. And the neurology of the physicality and neurology of the body, where you process more complexities of thought, are being activated because of these activations in this last conference. So you just have to allow, and your job is to stay present in the body and be aware. That's the challenge for some of us.
Can I add something here?
Hey.
Hi. Hi. So what I'm finding is that I'm in inner dialogue. Communication channels have really quantumly opened up, and I'm having inner conversations with soul spirit now, even all that is, you know, and that's a new piece. Like, as Jody was saying, that we're in the room, you know, the doors have kind of flung open now. We're not knocking at the door anymore or putting our toe through the threshold. We're kind of there. And what I've found in communicating with my mental, emotional, physical body is that it wants direction. And so I've found the body consciousness following the consciousness, that communication really wants to step up. And the body really is wanting direction. More so than ever. And so that dialogue has opened up too. I feel in a way just like a conduit, you know, for the whole enchilada, so to speak, for that integration piece. So
thank you.
So our next segment, Joan, was the light packet. And I think some of the things we've just been talking about actually apply to the light packet activation and that DNA activation. And I was, as Jana was speaking, you know, I was kind of looking over this outline, because Jana says the eighth strain of DNA relates to the spirit and its communication with the soul. So there you go. So it's all coming in on that eighth strand of DNA. So it's opened up all those communication channels within
right.
you.
Right.
All of these things are, you know, informing exactly what you're doing. And you're beginning to see that or feel that difference between the physical body and you, the soul spirit that resides in it. Yeah. And that when that realization occurs, it's like a big whoa.
And there's a lot of communication that opens up, and that opens up the soul star, the functioning of the soul star also. So that fifth light packet activation was huge. This was all about spirit, about us as individuals, activating a strand of DNA where that communication begins to take place and drawn from the soul star into our awareness, into our consciousness, through that activation of that eighth strand of DNA, which relates to our spirit, our soul spirit and that that vast communication that begins to take place. So after that activation, we proceeded then. Melena's took us on a journey to the convergence point. You want to talk about that, Melena?
Yeah, into the void. And because of receiving that light packet and that 8-strand of DNA and the 6th and the 7th dimensional light template, then we were able to take this next journey, and which was a pretty massive journey. And it was energetically laden. So again, we went back to our convergence point in Hawaii. And there we introduced the four new beings of light that have joined our magenta pink diamond. And as they took their place, and we were told that those beings of light came in on the platinum ray. And now the platinum ray now infuses the magenta color codes that is held within the diamond configuration, as well as, you know, the magenta codes that we hold within our own sacred heart. So now we have the infusion of the platinum ray coming into our unified field. So so due to that activation of that fifth light packet, that diamond, pink diamond matrix is now embedded within each of us. It is within our unified field, and it is part of our soul spirit. It is not anything separate from us going forward. So as we got into this point, Yeshua and Miriam emerged from the center of the pink diamond. They talked about what we did together 2,000 years ago. And then they invited us into the center of the pink diamond and into the magenta force field. Miriam led us on an amazing journey from that point on. And Yeshua, with many of the beings of light, held the dimensional pathways open for us as we move continually through this process from one dimensional time sequence to another. We first journeyed to the rainbow corridor, where we retrieved our personal color code and sound harmonic. We then traveled to the edge of the ninth dimension to what at first appeared to be a massive caravan, but was actually an ancient, ancient temple. Once we were inside, we each followed our own pathway to a small personal crystalline grotto. And this is a place that was known to our soul spirit, and the memory of which has been held deep in our ancient memory codes. We then went deeper into the grotto, and we came to a door that had our name on it. We were instructed to touch our name, which ignited the letters into a flame, and that transformed our name into fire letters. We then touched the fire letters, and they were transformed into an ancient symbol. That symbol represented the energetic sound signature that we are known by in all of the master realms throughout the universe. We were given a key that was imprinted with our color code and sound harmonic. We were asked to hold the key and state who we were and why, and that we had returned. And with that, we were able to open the lock on the door. And inside our personal time lock was our 12th dimensional blueprint that we had placed here eons ago. We had returned to retrieve it and reclaim it for all time. Yeshua and Miriam then instructed us that the next part of the journey was for us to travel alone. And with that, we left the grotto and the ninth dimensional frequency and traveled light years beyond the beyond on a pathway that was known only to the absolute essence of each of us. We entered the nothingness of the cosmic womb. We had returned to the point of origin in the realm of the prime creator. We were given the remembrance of the gift of love being breathed into our soul. The great presence of Source Creator imprinted our soul with one prime directive. And that prime directive has been with us through every incarnation, mission, assignment, in every universe, star system, galaxy, and every time sequence since our soul was given the breath of life. We then returned to the Rainbow Corridor, where Yeshua and Miriam were waiting, and they invited us to sit with them in the center of the pink diamond configuration. And we then returned to our sacred space. So that whole segment was just so energetically laden. And for me personally, it had a huge, huge impact on my being and my whole perspective of who I am and why I am changed in a way that I was really surprised to receive at such a amazing level. So with that, Joan, unless you have something you'd like to add, we would love to open this up to hear your comments and how this has affected you, or questions.
Hi, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
I was going over that section more recently, and as I came to the Rainbow Corridor, I had the feeling that the color that came to me during the conference was fine. And that perhaps it was possible to connect with other color and other harmonics as we waken up. And I guess basically what I felt was that, yeah, we are broadening our whole consciousness of our being, and actually we are all of those things. And so sometimes it's a concentration on one part of that. Am I correct in sensing that, feeling that, or is it just one color?
No, but the purpose, you know, of that segment, of that piece, was there was one color. I mean, your harmonic is definitely your harmonic. And that does not mean you don't have access to other colors and harmonics. Of course you do. And it depends on what you're doing and what you're trying to create and what you need in your life at that time. But this was something that was supposed to, you were supposed to be drawn to what you were being called to and by your soul. And so, you know, I take it for right now in this place and time in this incarnation, that color and that harmonic are what are recognizable to my soul in this incarnation. Okay. So does that mean that, again, you can change, use colors, harmonics, whatever you need for your own application. And there's many aspects of you too. So I guess it depends on which aspect of you you're calling in at any given time as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Could it be that that color frequency is tied with our prime directive?
I believe it is, yes. But we've been, you know, we've lived many lifetimes, so you know, and as we go through these things, and particularly as we move more into that quantum field where we're in that unlimited realm, different aspects of yourself will come through. And, you know, and maybe different parts of you will be more drawn to other colors.
Hi, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. So one of the things for me personally with that whole process was a personal wake-up call to really push the boundaries that I created in defining who I am. And it is not at this now moment, not a question of the knowing. It is for me the allowing. And so as I move forward, it is just, it is what it is, and not put a definition or try to even create something. So being in that quantum field, no, being in that nothingness is such, for me personally, such an important aspect of really allowing all that I am without definition, without anything, and just go through the allowing. And I feel, because this is just 3 weeks out, that as we move forward, that perspective, not necessarily a definition, because words are gone, but that perspective, and it'll come in whether it's through your clairsentient or your clairvoyant or your claircognizant. However, you will begin to make that connection and then walk in that way physically wherever you go, and energetically sending that out through the earth. And between that one and the green crystal, for me, is the most powerful experience. And I look forward to having it manifest. However, it's exciting.
Yeah.
So that's what I got to say.
Thank you.
I'd like to underscore what Diana, this is Pat. I'd like to underscore what Diana was saying about the nothingness or the void. I think for many decades in my life, when I would go through a series of what is often called the dark night of someone's soul, where you are moving in consciousness beyond ego, beyond concrete kinds of thoughts, I, in meditations or even dreams, I would go to this nothingness, to this void. But what I'm wondering about is that for me, there's been a series, almost like a step up of voids, because I remember in my 30s, it would feel kind of creepy, a little bit scary. It was dark. What's all this about? Because there was a lot of fear from ego and different childhood experiences. But this time, and I would come out of it on the other end, kind of like a wormhole, and feel better, feel a little bit more enlightened, shall we say. But this time, going through it, absolutely no fear, just absolute beyond words, just as I think Diana said, it is what it is. And it was just a beautiful bathing of love and light and unity. But the other thing I kept feeling or hearing a whisper of, come here more often, Pat. This is a highly creative state. And maybe, Joan, you said earlier, it will get to the point where we think it and there it is. And I felt like that when Miriam, you know, led us through that. It was just bliss. It really was kind of maybe what in Eastern religions they talk about, the nothingness, the Zen of it, where there's no thought. There just is, and there's being. And then the connection with the cosmic womb and our creation. And how all that may or may not connect with the quantum field. I'm still trying to unpack some of that. And I think Randy talked about it too. So I just think this void is, well, there just isn't a word. Just, I'm so at peace with it. And I see more who I am. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Thank you, Susan.
Oh, this is Sharka. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
I just would like to share something shortly. My experience with the color was always thought like kind of like Kelly, that that orange is my color, which. And so I was surprised when I was there and I was asked to look for my color. It was green. And I have realized, I'm an artist, and I have realized that green, which I saw, is complementary color to that orange. And I accepted it. And along with it came my initiation was about surrendering. And I was like misinterpreting it for giving up. And I was getting these thoughts to give up because I had a lot of unpleasant experiences which are going on for the last 2 months in my life. And the thought to give up came a few times and it alarmed me because I thought, no, I'm not giving up. I don't want to die. I will be here as long as I need to. But then I realized that I was misinterpreting it, that it's not telling me to give up. It was telling me to surrender. And so when I focused on surrendering with that green, which is love, everything solved. You know, I still had a lot of challenges in my life, but it became very smooth. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sharka.
Ready to move on?
So the next part of that was, Milena, you and the elementals brought through that 12th dimensional imprint and the great beings, the great air, water, and fire, and earth.
Right. Right. And, you know, and they each being presented us with that holographic imprint, and they shared how each could be used in our creations. And we were invited to become familiar with, become and start working with these more refined frequencies of the elements. And as we did so, that much would change for us. They also invited us to learn more about our personal element and how that does and has and does affect all that we do. And this activation, I think, will prove to be a very important one as we go forward in the future. After we have time to integrate all of them, I definitely can see them, our teachers of light, bringing us back to these imprints and then to begin utilizing them. And again, in ways we can't think, you know, that we're just not even able to imagine at this point. And in a couple of the comments, there's one thing we talk about the quantum field. And so just remember that quantum field is unlimited. And it's where all potential lies. So we have a grand, I think, potential in the future of being able to create in that unlimited way. And that's what the quantum field in and of itself will afford us to do. And, you know, and it's a vast realm in and of itself. And of course, it's just like everything else we've done, we've been given the entry point into it. And we're just beginning to feel it and be able to talk about it. And we don't have a clear understanding of what that truly means, other than the fact that it's where it is unlimited. So anyway.
Well, after Milena brought those imprints in, it was very important that we bring them through our body and give them to the earth, the elementals of the earth. This was significant because the elemental community has had to operate in that third, fourth dimension. They had to create it at the fall of consciousness. And they are very gradually trying to change it into a more fifth dimensional, not only frequency, but physical expression. So this imprint is invaluable, just like certain things that, like this, when we received the prime directive of who we were. It's the same thing for the elementals. When we gifted that through our body to the elemental community, that was their prime directive. So they could remember what they did in that 12th dimensional time sequence at the very beginning. So that was a huge gift that they received, not only that the imprint was brought into the earthly realm, but it was brought in through the human that the elemental communities had actually created that this body for us to experience separateness. Now we are returning the favor, if it was a favor, helping them remember who they were at that 12th dimensional iteration. So it was huge. It was a very joyful for me activation. So the next thing, we move on to the Sunday afternoon, and this was the morning rather. This was the activation of the light body, the third activation, and Yeshua, of course, facilitated that for us. He came and he talked about what happened to him 2,000 years ago and when he received it and how important that was for him in his ascension process. So, and that it was a very important initiation that we received because it brought the light body into a fuller expression, not only in our memory as masters of light, but in our bodies. And it changed not only the electromagnetic field of the body through that element of love, but it also began to change the etheric body, which is our physical double. And it changed it, and it now is beginning to be our light body. The light body is informing the physical body who it is and what it is at that physical level. In the Eastern doctrine, a lot of Eastern technology talks about the Ka body, which is the light body. And that activation, Yeshua told us, would take 3 to 5 years to fully activate, but that we would notice a difference within the next few weeks. So here again, it is in the receiving of it and the gradual integration of that Ka body or the light body, so that it informs the physical body how to operate. It informs the mental emotional body. It informs the brain how to process complexities of thought that are streaming in from the vast realms of source energy, the mind of source, universal mind, as it applies to our human form. So this was a great gift that Yeshua facilitated with us for this initiation. And moving forward, it will be invaluable in our consciousness and in our ascension process. So at the close of that morning session, Metatron came and gave us a kind of a summary and an overview of what had happened just in Friday's and Saturday's sessions and how significant each one of those activations was, and how that sixth and seventh dimensional light templates were so impactful, the changes that it brought about that we've been discussing. And then he also mentioned the teachers. Our teachers of light were so delighted and ecstatic over what we have accomplished. And they will be with us always, as they have been. But they are just delighted. And so that all of this is bringing to a close this 5-year teaching sequence. But it is also providing the foundation for future teaching that will be started soon. So with that, this is a space that we have allotted for you to make comments or ask questions if you have any.
Hi, Joan. Hi, Milena. This is Linda.
Hey, Linda.
Wow. I feel my Ka body. It's like, it's mind-boggling to me. I don't even know how to put words to it, other than to say it's like my etheric body's been waiting for this, you know, for this activation, so it can do the process. So I have a question. One of the things that I found out when we were in the seminar was that when we spun at 130% of the speed of light, mm-hmm. what I thought was too fast for me when we were at 100% was actually I was slowing down. And so I was looking at ascension symptoms, but I was looking at it opposite. And so can I continue to speed up, or do I need to just stop and stay? Well, obviously right now I need to stop and stay, you know, but can I continue to speed up? Will that affect the emerging wholeness of my etheric light body? And let's stop it there. It'll kind of probably go on for that.
Elena, you got a comment?
Well, I think I would hold it at the 130% for now. And
okay.
Because, you know, we use that to help us move through dimensional frequencies and through other time sequences and that sort of thing. And if you're trying to stay grounded in your human body, you know, when we're not working as a collective, you know, to move through some of these sequences, it's probably easier for you to stay fully more grounded in your body if you keep it no more.
Okay.
30%.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I've been bouncing dimensionally. I mean, seriously bouncing like a bouncing ball since just. It's been quite the ride. I mean, I just kind of finally like surrendered to it and just go, okay. And I mean, I go on to different frequencies and I'm having a conversation about something that, you know, I'm pondering and then I'll just end up somewhere else. And it's like, well, where did those ascended masters go? You know? And so it's been quite the ride.
Right. Well, there's a lot of assimilation going on. You know, we're just now, you know, in the beginning part of being able to integrate all of these massive energetic blocks that were received. And I tell you, it's going to take a long time. And some of them 3 to 5 years, as Metatron has said, and, you know, and it's continuing. And, you know, that stream is just continuing to flow into your whole unified field. So, you know, we have to become familiar with that as it integrates. So just kind of keep that in mind and be kind to yourself.
Okay, thanks. I will.
I'd like to add to that question. A couple years ago, we were told to spin our field at 100% light, not the speed of light, but 100% light. In other words, be 100% light. And I just wonder if this is the same concept, be 130% light. Not speed of light, but 130% light.
Well, I think that is amping up the light to make sure you're meeting people.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Joe. I think that this guidance to amplify the Merkaba vehicle at 130% light was to help us go into that quantum field at a much different vibratory level. And it also was a precursor on what is to come in future teachings in the next sequence of teachings as we move forward. So it makes us, and then of course that following that was this activation of the light body. So it accustoms, and if this light body now can inform the physical body to upgrade in very significant ways. So this was kind of everything built on another. So having that increase in the to 130% light in the Merkaba vehicle was to enable us to travel interdimensionally, to travel in and be in that quantum field, but to also begin to alter our physicality in ways that we don't really fully understand right now. So right now, it's all about receiving, integrating, and grounding all of these aspects that we have been given over these various initiations and activations. Because moving forward, you can't move forward without all of that integrated and grounded into your physicality. Because this ascension process is not about the ascension of your spirit. This is the ascension of all of it, all parts of you, and the ascension of the physical. Does that kind of answer your question, or is there more?
I'm good with that. Thanks.
You go with that. Melinda, do you have any comment on that?
No, that's great. It's perfect. Okay, so then our last activation was the aquamarine crystal, a tranquility and beauty. And this one was very special to me and resonates deeply with my soul, I will tell you. And I had no idea that they were even going to allow us to even talk about that crystal. And it was only because of everything we had done in the previous days, the Unity template, receiving that, the light body activation, our light packet activation, and our own harmonic signature, our prime directive. All of those things were all things that they said, that because I didn't even talk to me about it and say we could move forward and mention it until after was Saturday evening, after Saturday was over. So, you know, I thank you all for that. But what I wanted you to know that when we each emitted our personal signature tone to the crystal, our collective tone became a harmonic symphony. And I think that is just such a beautiful expression of what we are able to do. And then as we move forward, anytime as a collective, we now emit this beautiful harmonic symphony. And that harmonic symphony then allowed this beautiful, beautiful aquamarine crystal to begin to emanate, and where it has been forgotten for eons of time since the Lemurians left. So in the whales and the dolphins that will now swim in that area where it's emanating will now take those frequencies with them wherever they go. So we begin to expand the beauty of the tranquility and the beauty to the rest of the world. And our world can surely use more tranquility and beauty if like never before. So anyway, this one was touched my heart deeply. And so thank you all for participating, you know, in the activation of this one. And it is where it is in our convergence point. So it is protected. It's being watched over by all the beings and the ancient ones there. And the whales and the dolphins that live there and that swim through there every day. So thank you all for that one.
Well, and then next we did discuss the blue and the green crystal. Of course, we have been kind of working with that blue crystal at Talamina Ridge, talking about it. We actually haven't worked so much with it. But as I have talked to Metatron on different occasions, he has informed me that those two crystals aren't fully online, and it takes a certain state of consciousness for us to be able to access, especially the blue crystal of wisdom and knowledge of all that is. The green crystal, I think, is the first step, because these three crystals in particular, the aquamarine, the green, and the blue, are very significant earth keepers that hold massive amounts of information. And now the activation of that aquamarine one that is emanating harmony is so important, and as Melinda said, and especially in these times. But that element of love then coming online through that green crystal, and then the wisdom and knowledge, being able to access some of those ancient texts and knowledge. But what has to occur now is there has to be a communication between each of those crystals so that the aquamarine is communicating to the green and the green is communicating to the blue, because we cannot access that blue without the interface of the aquamarine and the green. We have to have that love, that element of love. And we have to have this wisdom of our, of who we are, who we when we received our prime directive, who we were created to be, was so important in this course of this light conference. So eventually we'll be working with those activations more on a more physical level, as our consciousness allows that to happen. So with that, if anybody has any more questions or comments, let's take those now before we close. Anybody have a comment?
I do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Jody, is probably maybe asking the same thing. No. Can you give us just a little bit of direction about if we wanted to meditate on either or three of these crystals, do we join with them? How do we respectfully work with them, or do we not and wait till we are in a collective conscious state?
Well, I think that you can, you know, like anything else, if you go to your Sacred Heart Center, and especially after this light conference and beginning to integrate all of these massive energies and initiations that you most certainly could begin to draw from. I wouldn't try to put anything in them or activate them on your own, because there is a process that is already in flux.
Yeah, I was going to say the messages that seem, especially through today's call, the information that's coming in, I mean, it just, as I put my attention on every place that we went to, it just like activates really cool stuff. Anyway, I'm sure it will for a while now, but it's the absorption. And, you know, the old me would want to analyze everything and remember it so I could teach it, or so I could share it, or I could talk about it, whatever. That part of me is just so gone. And I'm becoming aware that it is in the absorption. It's not that I'm giving back to the crystals, or I'm not giving of myself to them. And I think that's my answer to earlier, is that to just sit in the energy, to absorb it, to become it, to integrate it. That's my job right now. And of course, I keep doing things that knock me off my feet so that I could actually sit down. I can't do a whole lot, you know, between snake bites and karate chops to the neck. You know, I am integrating, and to surrender to that was a huge message to me today, is just surrender to it. We are absorbing it. We can only absorb as much as we can absorb, and then we absorb more. You know,
okay. Kathleen, you have anything more to say about that? Or
no, I think it's been really, just really, your answer was really helpful. And I think you said it in the beginning. I realized you had to repeat yourself about, we're not to put anything in, we're just supposed to absorb. And so that's great. Yeah, it's exciting.
Right. So we are in the receiving mode of everything that occurred. So just be open and and because you'll integrate it, you know, as you integrate it in no particular sequence. So just learn how to receive, which some of us don't do easily.
Can I say something?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. Jody, I just wanted to say thank you for your commentary on that, on how you're absorbing it. I guess I've been in training all summer long. That's what I was doing in the water every single day, was absorbing
the experience of it and the energetics of it. And it was a conscious absorbing. I was aware that that's what I was doing. And so now you've taken it to the next level and brought it full circle for here and what I need to do now. So that being said, I just wanted to say thank you. And I want to say thank you to every single one of you. OMG. Just thank you for being who you are and stepping up to the plate.
You are.
And I'm good.
Okay. Well,
I want to comment that this time of review has been really helpful to me. Wow. This conference with the energetics has just been tremendous. There's so much that I'm just sitting here receiving. And that message about, just sit and receive. I had to hear that. So thank you for doing this. Thank you, everybody.
Well, we felt that it would be very helpful to kind of review with you. Because when you're in the middle of a conference, there's so many energetics coming in and the influx of light is massive. Even though you review on your own, I think when we come together as a collective and review, it gives a whole broader perspective of actually what occurred. And how that had such deep meaning to us personally, but it had meaning at a cosmic level. It was a very, from my personal aspect, there were certain parts that just hit me right here. I never could have expected that in a jillion years. So as with all of you, I'm sure you're very, very grateful to our teachers of light and what we have been receiving in the last 5 years. So with that, I think we should close our session. And Lord Metatron would like to close this session and talk to you just for a moment. So if you will give me a moment. Greetings. It is I, Metatron. I would like to speak to you at this moment when your hearts are full and your light is brilliant. This is a time for you, beloveds. You have worked very diligently over the years of your time to raise your consciousness, to do what you needed to do to diminish all of the various imprints that you came into this world with from previous life existences, but also ones that you picked up here in this third dimensional realm that was so polarized, and you persevered no matter what. So this has brought us to this delightful and delicious space of your physicality, of a level of ascension that you had not expected. Much has occurred over this last 30 days. But much has occurred over the last 5 years. If you will think back to the time that you first gathered at Seating of the Divine, and we spoke to you about that you were a divine being of light, a creative being. And it was very difficult for you to comprehend that. But look at you now, beloveds. Look at you now. You know you are divine. You know how unified you are. and what you will create in the coming time will be unbelievable to you at this moment. You will now come into a time of service to the earth and to all humans, however that is for you individually, but more importantly, as you meet in your crucible, how you affect the world. From this moment on, as you continually transmit your light and you realize how important it is to be the light that you are. And I don't think that you will forget that ever. So let us join together in this massive crucible, all members, in joyous ecstasy of the energy of the all that is, the magnificence of how you were created, when you were created. And the mastery that you now carry within you. You are now capable of remembering who you are at that vaster level. It will come slowly, as we have said, 3 to 5 years. But the memories will return. So joined heart to heart, now, soul to soul, spirit to spirit, within this crucible, we close this session. Blessings, beloveds. Blessings. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your comments and the questions that were asked. Were all wonderful and very productive. Thank you.